This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
What drives a man who studied the criminal mind to become the suspect of one of the most brutal college town murders in recent memory? That's the riddle at the center of the Brian Koberger case. A PhD student in criminology, allegedly obsessed with a serial killer, accused of planning and executing the murders of four University of Idaho students, and in doing so, some say with eerie precision. But now, a new controversial theory is gaining traction from Howard Bloom. Was Koberger trying to impress someone? Not a girlfriend, not a peer, but his former professor, who we've had on this show many times, Dr. Catherine Ramsland, one of the world's foremost experts in serial killers. He studied under her. It sounds like the plot of a dark Netflix drama, but it's a theory that Howard Bloom is taken to his articles. It's making its way into serious discussion, fueled by unanswered questions, a lack of clear motive, and some eyebrow-raising patterns in his behavior. Joining us is someone who knows a thing or two about decoding motive and delusion, retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreek, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. I was surprised when I saw this one, Robin, but I know you and me both really respect his writing and his reporting, so I thought, let's discuss. From a behavioral standpoint, how plausible is it that a man like Koberger would commit an act this extreme, not out of hatred or revenge, or being, the name escapes me for a second here, the guys who are obsessed with women but hate women, an incel, but yep, to try to gain the admiration of someone he saw as a mentor. This is Howard Bloom's theory at this moment in time. He just published on Airmail. What's your thoughts? I found this to be very intriguing.
Yeah, anytime Howard Bloom talks, I give it a listen. I pay attention. Mm-hmm. He wrote a great book. He did a lot of great deep diving with the people and the personalities involved in this. That being said, you know, anytime you hear a new theory go out there, and I apologize, Tony, and to the audience, I am the boring guy. I don't get emotional on these things. I just like, oh, that's interesting. Let's look at the data. Let's look at the science. Let's look at the law of probabilities and see what fits or doesn't fit and see if we can establish an arc mm-hmm. of probability. And if you're looking at an arc of probability, we have to make a couple assumptions here. One, the greatest leap here we are going to make is that let's assume, because we haven't done a psychological study on him, I'm not a licensed clinician, but if he is high on psychopathy, I think this theory is not plausible. And here's why. And we've chatted about this before. Psychopaths, when you're high on psychopathy, they don't do things to impress others. They do it for pure sport and grandiosity internally. And so the notion of him being needy enough to seek the approval of others would require that. And also then, well, let's look at data points in his life from statements and what others are reporting on him. Has he ever sought that kind of affirmation and validation from others external to himself, or has it always been internal? There's low data on that. And so I'm not again, if he is high on psychopathy, it's not a likelihood. It doesn't mean it's outlawed. It doesn't mean it's not a possibility. Anything's a possibility until, you know, we have more data. But I'm thinking it's low likelihood if he's high in psychopathy.
And that's the thing we just don't know the answer to. We know right. that he, you know, has autism. Again, that does not mean psychopathy by any stretch
of the imagination. Well, maybe, Tony, even autism. Yeah. So I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong on this. Mm-hmm. It was just conjecture. I did not, like, last I'd heard on this, he actually hadn't been tested for autism.
He has, he has now. Okay. We have official, or the court has official documentation okay. now that he does.
My apologies again. That's why I was just double
checking. Initially, they came with no receipts. But right. now they have receipts. And okay, look, he's been diagnosed. Here's what you got. But again, none of it. Like, autism does not mean that you don't have, you know, cognitive skills to make reason right or wrong. I mean, I would guess, honestly, probably a massive, massive chunk of our population, more than half, is on the spectrum and undiagnosed. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just how brains work in different ways. Some can go very far this way, some can go very far that way. And it kind of makes you who you are. But the idea of this, I wouldn't say it's extremely far out there, because there are other cases where you have people who, in their twisted mind, make this out to be something to impress someone, whether it be a love interest. And I don't know that I don't think Howard Bloom is implying that all the way, but more so that Catherine was someone who he was studying directly under, literally same classroom, just studying directly under. They're communicating directly while he's studying under her. And that, you know, he found her to be so enthralling, so interesting, so much at the top of her game, an expert in this field, that he felt a draw to, and that pulling this off, maybe, again, this is all conjecture, pulling this off would maybe be something that could really impress her, and maybe even take it a step further than she went with her research into BTK. I mean, she got right down to the nitty gritty, got inside of the mind of Dennis Rader, and revealed a ton of things that we had not heard before about Dennis in terms of his in terms of our understanding of a serial killer and what makes that individual tick. That's what I'm wondering is, did he think, and I've been saying this from the beginning, was this all a lesson for himself? Was this in some way, shape, or form him wanting to go do this, get this experience, because in his mind, that would make her, or make him, a better investigator once he got to that level in his career, because he went out and did that himself, and he was just going to sweep that under the rug. I don't know. Like, if he did think he was going to do it to impress her, that's a whole other ball of insanity, because you think you're going to impress Dr. Catherine Ramblin by killing people? I don't think that's going to be her reaction.
So you saw my nonverbals as you're talking there, as I did one of these. This is the, like Robin having a kind of a new epiphany as you're describing this. All right, so I'm going to modify my response a bit on this, because here's what I'm thinking, Tony.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going to make his leap kind of fit what I had just said. So let's assume that this was the motive. And Howard's correct on this. My initial, and I'm going to own my mistaken interpretation. My initial interpretation was he was doing this to outwardly impress her, like she would find out he did it and impress her.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what I just said, remember, if he is high on psychopathy, it's all about internal things. It's all about also for psychopathy. And people that are going for extra stimulus, that we're saying that is that why psychopaths do what they do, and they have the fantasization. So this could fit if in his fantasy, internally, he became a study of his professor, even though he's unknown to her. In other words, he could pull off this crime and she would be enamored with this new serial killer that got away with it, even though she doesn't know the identity is.
Surprise, it's one of your students. It's like, it's somebody you are close with and you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
so again, I'm just kind of reversing the context here. Let's put ourselves, as challenging as it is, in his mind. Let's do that leap of conjecture of high psychopathy. And no need for external validation. In other words, he doesn't need to let her know she did it to impress her. Mm-hmm. Impressing her would be the type of serial killer that would garner her attention, mm-hmm. that she would then teach in class as a classic serial killer that got away with it. That might fit that fantasy narrative. Because remember, especially when he's taking, again, to kind of, if we're, another boy, we're making so many conjecture jumps. He takes that selfie. You know, in the shower, that was for him, you know, and so now part of his, because remember, he didn't stage anything that allowed him to go back and relive this moment to get that rush he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's now studying with and partnered with a researcher, a doctor that he admires, that makes that she is studying, he will get that rush every time she references him, every time she references the case.
He was actively studying under her when he did this.
Yes. And so I bet you, boy, I don't bet you, but it would be interesting to see if part of, again, I don't know if it's conscious or unconscious, you know, when people are doing these things, predators are generally unconscious. So if he's studying under her, mm-hmm. this is in the news. I'm sure that if you are looking for an adrenaline rush of some sort of emotional response that he's craving, you know, part of that was the killing itself, but the other part was the daily interaction he's going to have when she is talking about the case with him.
And with that, he would be able to garner insights that no one else would have, and it would make him look like a genius if he was able to come up with information that no one else knew.
Yeah.
But it would be just assumptions like, oh my gosh, Brian, look, you're right at that. Look, I just kind of came to that one right now.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, from my initial interpretation that people might initially hear Howard Bloom saying he was doing it to impress her, mm-hmm. we're automatically assuming that he's looking to say, hey, look at me, professor, you know, look what I did. No, I don't think that's the level that he was thinking. Again, pure conjecture this is it, if he's guilty and all that. But if this has a thread of truth and reality, it's going to be on a different kind of undercurrent, I mm-hmm. think. You know, he's going to be going for that. I mean, just think, you know, here he is. He pulled off in his mind mm-hmm. one of the greatest feats that people can do. He committed a murder and got away with it. And then if he could do another one, and he's working with someone that is so impressed with these that he's impressed with her. That would be that fuel he's looking for. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.